Welcome to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will continue with the Rambam's introduction to his Book of Commandments, in which he explains how it is he arrived at his number of 613. Although, as we explained in yesterday's portion, we know clearly that there are 613 mitzvahs, there are some difference of opinion as to which commandments are included in the count of 613. And as we described yesterday, the Rambam in particular disagrees with the opinion of the Hilchos Gedolos, who was the primary enumerator of the commandments before Maimonides. And therefore the Rambam supports his count for the commandments by giving 14 principles which guided him in his choice of the 613. And today we will start with the first of these and continue on as the Rambam will explain each one of these principles and bring proofs that it is necessary that we must be so guided in our count of the 613. The first of the 14 principles is that we count only those commandments which are explicated in the Torah, and we do not count any rabbinic commandments. This is something that Rambam says that we normally would not even need to explain. It is so obvious. As our sages say that there were 613 commandments which were given at Mount Sinai. How then could one think that something which was given after Mount Sinai would count as one of the 613? Yet we have seen that some, meaning apparently the Hilchos Gedolos, have made a mistake and counted the law of Chanukah, lighting a menorah, and so too reading the Megillah on Purim, saying 100 blessings a day, consoling the mourners, visiting the sick, burying the dead, dressing the naked, estimating and calculating the seasons, and saying the prayer Hallel 18 times a year, all of these they count as positive commandments of the Torah. But how can we do such a thing? Hallel was written in the Book of Psalms by King David. How could we say that Moses was commanded to say Hallel of King David? And so too, the Hanukkah menorah came as a result of the miracle at the time of the Second Temple, and the Megillah of the miracle of Purim. These are all things which came much later. How then could Moses have been commanded that these are positive commandments? And it is certainly impossible to say, says the Rambam, that Moses was told that if there will come a certain time, and the Greeks are ruling over the Jewish people, and there will be a war, and they will find some oil, and then they will light it, and it will miraculously last, then you should have a commandment of lighting the menorah. Such a thing makes no sense that Moses could have been commanded in such a way at Mount Sinai. Therefore, they cannot be included in the 613. Why then should they say such an amazing statement that these rabbinic commandments are counted in the 613? The Rambam tells us that they were apparently misled by the statement we make in our blessings, that we can make a blessing even over rabbinic commandments, that we say, Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvesav v'tzivanu, that God sanctified us with His commandments and commanded us. And the Talmud asks, how can we say we are commanded if they are by rabbinic ordinance? And the Talmud quotes a verse from the Torah which states that we shall not turn away from the words of our sages. As the Rambam now quotes both of these verses, both of these statements in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17 verse 11, which states, Al pi ha-teira asher yeirucha, according to the teachings that they shall give you, v'al ha-mishpot asher yeimru lecha taseh, and according to the laws they give you, you should do. And so too, it says, Leisosur min ha-derach asher yagidu lecha yal min usmeil, you should not turn away from the path that they teach you to the right or the left. And this means that just as we must do what they have commanded us, we must follow all of the rabbinic commandments, we must not turn away and violate one of the rabbinic prohibitions. In this way we see that all of the rabbinical laws really trace back to a biblical origin. Based on this, the Rambam tells us, they derive that even rabbinic commandments count as one of the 613, since they eventually have their origin in the Torah. The Rambam, however, although agreeing with this point, that we are required to follow rabbinic enactments as a result of biblical decree, nevertheless says we still must differentiate when it comes to counting the 613. And from here to the end of the discussion of this principle, the Rambam proves this cannot be so, since we would have to count innumerable other rabbinic commandments also as part of the 613. For example, if they are going to say that any time we use such an expression that we're commanded to do something, why then do we not count the law of washing our hands? Or so too, the making of an Eruv. The various ways of combining different categories, either a category of different periods of time or different spatial areas, as we'll discuss in the laws of Erevin, which are all by rabbinic enactment. And when doing these commandments, we say vitzivanu, we say we've been commanded. And even more so, the Talmud explicitly says regarding the washing of the hands that how do we see we are commanded? And Abaye answered that we are required to listen to the words of our sages. If this is the case, all of these things should also count as part of the 613 commandments. And so to all the words of our prophets, that our prophets gave us certain commandments, also should be counted according to them, according to the Hilchos Gedolos, and the ones that support him should be counted as part of the 613. As the Talmud relates that when King Solomon made certain enactments for the community, such as washing the hands in Erevin, a voice came out from heaven and stated, Chacham b'ni v'samach libi, be wise, my son, and rejoice my heart, that God was speaking, showing that he agreed with these different enactments. And as it says clearly in other places, that these enactments were by rabbinic decree. And so to anything else which was enacted with prophecy, such as the reading of the Megillah on Purim, which comes from the book of Esther, and we see it was therefore revealed by prophecy that this should be a commandment throughout the ages. However, something from the prophets also does not count automatically as one of the 613 commandments. And because of this error, the Rambam says, they count also clothing the naked as one of the commandments, as stated in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 7, when you see a naked person, you should clothe him. And therefore, they count it as a separate commandment. However, the Rambam says we are already commanded in the book of Deuteronomy that anyone who is lacking something, we must fulfill it, meaning we must take care of any poor person. And as our sages say, this includes giving food to the hungry, clothing to the naked, bedding and coverings to those that do not have, transportation to those that do not have, and wedding costs for someone that cannot afford to be married. The Talmud, which states clearly that all of these come under the category of fulfilling someone's needs, would seem, according to these people, to be speaking extra words and with an unclear speech, quoting a verse from Isaiah. However, the Talmud is precise and means to say that all of these commandments are included under the general purview of the necessity of fulfilling the needs of the needy. And this is counted as one commandment. And although certainly one must give clothing to the naked, this does not count as a separate one of the 613 commandments. The Rambam brings another proof for this distinction from the Talmudic tractate Shvuos, which distinguishes between commandments given at Mount Sinai and ones which were innovated later. As the Talmud asks, the ones which we were given at Mount Sinai, we know we must fulfill. But how about the reading of the Megillah, which was brought later? And the Talmud quotes the verse from the Megillah of Esther, Kimu v'kiblu, that they fulfilled and they accepted, meaning this, that they already accept upon themselves that the days of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai to fulfill, meaning that the Jewish people agreed that at Mount Sinai to fulfill all of the words of the sages, this promise they fulfilled in actuality at the times of Purim. But this does not mean that they were commanded to read the Megillah at Mount Sinai, as the Talmud clearly distinguishes that we know the ones at Mount Sinai. And how do we know the ones later? Only by a verse in the book of Esther, which shows again that it is by rabbinic decree, and these commandments cannot be counted as part of the 613. The Rambam brings a final proof that we cannot count rabbinic enactments by bringing the necessity of counting all the rabbinic prohibitions. For example, there are 20 types of incest, which are prohibited only by rabbinic decree, known as shniyes. For example, one's maternal grandmother, which is not specifically prohibited in the Chumash, in the Bible explicitly, but rather by rabbinic enactment, as the Talmud states clearly that one is forbidden from engaging in such a relationship because we are commanded to obey the sages. If one shall count all cases of rabbinic commandments, we must count these as well. And so too, in the case of chalitza, a childless sister-in-law, as we will discuss this commandment later on in Sefer HaMitzvahs, God willing, this childless sister-in-law who has a sister, the sister is also forbidden by rabbinic decree. And if we should count all of these rabbinic prohibitions, we would end up with not only 613, but many thousands of commandments. And it is impossible, regardless of who makes up such an idea, says the Rambam, referring evidently to the greatness of the Bahag, the Hilchos Gedeles, it is impossible to accept some rabbinic commandments and to reject others. Rather, we must count only those commandments which are explicitly given and explained in the verses of the Torah. And regarding this, there can be no doubt that there would be no end should we count rabbinic commandments. Therefore, we must limit ourselves to those which are given at Mount Sinai and specifically explicated in the Torah. In order to properly understand the second principle, we first must understand how the Torah has developed through the times from when it has been given at Mount Sinai until the present day. There are certain things which Moses was told directly from God, known as Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And these things that Rambam says in his introduction to the Mishnah, there can be no possible disagreement about. Should there develop any disagreement at a later period of time, we know this is not one of this category of commandment or law. However, there are other sorts of laws which were not directly told to Moshe, but rather we derive them from using some of the principles of Torah interpretation. As we say in the morning service, there are 13 principles of Torah interpretation, which are totally separate from these 14 principles of counting the 613 mitzvahs. The first of these 13 principles of Torah interpretation is a kal v'chemer, which is making an inference from one case to another. A simple example of this will be in the statement that Moses made in Egypt to God, that if the Jewish people don't listen to me, why should Pharaoh listen to me? This is a kal v'chemer. The Jewish people, who one would think have more reason to listen to Moshe, still do not listen to him. Why should we think Pharaoh should? This is one of the 13 principles by which we can derive new laws of the Torah. Through using these 13 principles, we can derive all of the laws. As the Rambam says, the majority of the laws we have come from these 13 principles. However, depending on how we apply these 13 principles, there can sometimes develop disagreements in the Torah. That although both manners of derivation might be proper according to these methods and principles, nevertheless, they can arrive at opposite conclusions. We then have principles as given to us in the Torah as how to resolve these difficulties to decide what the law should be. Although, as the Rambam stresses in this principle, that all of the laws which we have derived by these 13 principles are true, nevertheless, they are differentiated from the other ones as far as being counted in the 613 commandments. And the difference is not how sure we are they are correct. We are certain that all of them are correct, that since the Torah has given us a way of determining which is the proper way to behave. However, we must determine which are the roots, and which is the main part, and which are branches coming off of this main root. There are 613 roots, and the other laws we derive are branches coming off. And this is the second principle that Rambam gives us, that any law which is derived by one of these 13 methods of Torah interpretation, or by a riboy, by an extra word in a verse, which does not explicitly state what it means, any of these methods of deriving new laws which cannot be counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Rather, they are counted as branches of the 613. The complication comes in the following circumstance. When it comes to some law which is derived by these 13 principles, the Talmud states clearly that it was derived in such a fashion. However, even the laws which are Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which Moses was told directly, and he did not merely derive by using these 13 principles, occasionally the Talmud will also relate this law to one of the 13 principles. The reason, however, that Rambam tells us is completely different. This is not the reason or the way we know this law is true. The way we know this law is true is because Moses has been told so explicitly. Rather, the Gemara refers to one of these 13 principles to show us the profound wisdom contained in the Torah, in the Scripture itself, that even though it does not explicitly state this law, nevertheless it is still hinted to, but this is not the way we learn it out. In a law which derives from the 13 principles, this is the source of the law, this is how we derived it. However, in one of the laws told directly to Moses, these were not told directly, but rather they were reasoned out using the principle the Torah gave us. Therefore, when we see one of the 13 midas being used, we don't know whether to count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs or not. Because if it was told directly, we should count it. And if not, not. How then do we know? So the Rambam tells us a clear basis for making such a determination, that if the Gemara says that this is midaraisa, this is a biblical commandment, or this is guf Torah, this is part of the main body of Torah, meaning one of the main branches or roots from which all the others derive, then we count it as one of the 613. And if not, we do not count it as one of the 613, because it was based on a derivation process rather than heard directly from Hashem. This point of the Rambam is very hotly contested by the Ramban Nachmanides, and among all of the Rambam's 14 principles, this one is the most strongly challenged. However, now the Rambam starts to bring proofs for his point of view. The Rambam begins by dealing with things not interpreted by using the 13 principles of Torah interpretation, which are not even as strong proofs as that, which nevertheless the Bahag used and counted as 613 mitzvahs. One of them is the idea of a riboy, which means an extra verse, an extra word or phrase in the Torah, seemingly extra. Since everything in the Torah must come to teach us something, our sages explain to us what it comes to teach. For example, in the book of Deuteronomy, we are told, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, you should fear Hashem your God. The word Es seems to be extra, and in the Talmud, Rabbi Akiva explains, the word Es comes to teach us not only we should have fear and awe for Hashem, but also for Torah scholars, we should fear them as well. Now, because this counts as one of the 613 commandments, if so, the Rambam says, we will have to add many other commandments. For example, we have the verse, Kabed es avicha ve'es imecha, honor your father and mother. And there also we have the word es, seemingly extra, twice. Our sages explain that the word es avicha comes to include not only your father, but also your elder brother and your stepfather. And the es imecha, the word es before your mother, comes to include your stepmother. Now, if you're going to count the extra word S by the verse to fear God, we must count it here as well. And we must say that the commandment of fearing or having awe for one's elder brother or stepmother or stepfather is also counted. They should be counted separately among the 613 commandments, just as the Bahag wanted to count the fear of a Torah scholar separately. And as the Rambam goes further, the Bahag and those that followed him made an even more serious mistake. Even where there is not an extra word in which there can be an interpretation that this is another commandment, even more so, just where there's a drash, an interpretation of a verse, not according to the simple meaning, they also learn out biblical commandments from there. And although certainly the laws they derive are true, that does not make it one of the 613 commandments, rather a branch of something else. That since our sages say the verse must be learned according to the simple meaning, and many times we see our sages ask, after a certain interpretation, but what does the verse itself mean? This shows that the verse itself comes to mean something, and those things which have been interpreted from it are by rabbinic origin. For example, the Rambam quotes a verse in the book of Exodus, chapter 18, verse 20. You should tell the Jewish children the path to walk in, and the path and the deeds they should do. The verse is then interpreted by our sages, not according to the simple meaning. The path means to give charity. That they should walk refers to visiting the sick. Ba, in it, refers to burying the dead. The deed refers to judgment. And asher yasun, that they should do, refers to making a judgment even beyond the limitation of the law, going beyond the limit of the law. Based on this interpretation, the Bahag counts the visiting of the sick and comforting mourners and burying the dead as separate commandments. But the Rambam says they cannot be counted as such. Rather, they are all subcategories of the one general commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And you would therefore want done to you this that you would want done to yourself, you should do to others. If you are sick, you would like to be visited, visit someone else, and so forth. But we cannot count them as separate commandments. And so too, where it says in the verse that the calculation of the seasons and astronomical calculations of the constellations and so forth. This is your wisdom and your understanding among the nations, and therefore we learned that we must make such calculations. Nevertheless, this does not make it a separate commandment. Since this is not the simple meaning of the verse, we cannot count it as a separate mitzvah. And now the Rambam comes to his point. By these two things, it makes very little sense to count them as part of the 613. But if you do, to count those laws which are derived from the 13 Midas, from the 13 principles, certainly they should be counted. Certainly they should be counted in. They are much closer. It's much more reasonable to count them. And if all of these things are counted, we would have many, many thousands and thousands of laws. We would not have only 613. As the Rambam proves from the Talmudic tractate Tmura, that in the mourning period after Moses died, 1,700 laws of this kind were forgotten. Kal v'chaymer, gzeira shava, and so forth. 1,700 were forgotten. And they would have been permanently forgotten had there not come along Othniel ben Knaz, as the book of Joshua tells us that he was able to conquer. And our sages explain he was able to rederive those laws which Moses had himself derived using the 13 principles. And the Talmud concludes that these were the ones that were forgotten in 1700. Certainly not every single one was forgotten. There must have been many, many more. And all of them, all these types of derivation are referred to in the Talmud as Divrei Seferim, of rabbinic origin, and certainly they may not be counted as in the number of 613. Therefore, the Rambam concludes, it's impossible to count those commandments which are derived by the Yud Gimel Midas by these 13 means of Torah interpretation. And even at the times of Moses, when Moshe himself used these principles to derive laws, they still were not counted as the Tariag Mitzvahs. As we saw from this statement in Tmura, that there were more than 613, there were 1,700 only forgotten. So in conclusion, the Rambam tells us that once we see a law derived using these 13 principles, we can use it as one of the 613 only if our sages tell us explicitly that it is a law midiraisa of biblical origin, or it's guf teira, part of the main body of Torah, meaning not merely one of the branches of Torah. However, once it does say that, then we know that this principle of the 13 principles is merely to trace back or show a hint in the Torah of the law we already know as a result of being handed down directly to Moshe Rabbeinu, a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. The third of the Rambam's 14 principles is that we only count in the number of 613 those mitzvahs which apply for all time. And the Rambam will bring three proofs for this principle directly from the sayings of our sages. One of them is the statement that the 613 commandments were given to Moshe on Mount Sinai. What does Mount Sinai have to do with it? The Rambam says that anything given on Mount Sinai had to be a permanent commandment. As he learns from the book of Exodus chapter 24, verse 12, which states that Moshe should go up to the mountain, and there Hashem says, I will give you the Torah, l'hayresam, to be a teaching for the Jewish people. This implies that Rambam is a permanent commandment to teach the Jewish people for all generations. And therefore, this which was given on Mount Sinai, that the verse says he should go up on the mountain, is referring to all permanent commandments for all generations. A second proof that Rambam gives is this which the Gemara says, that how do we know there are 613 commandments? That we have a verse, Teira tzivu lana Moshe, meirasha kielos yankiv. The Teira which was commanded by Moshe is an inheritance to the Jewish people. Teira has a numerical value using the gematria of 611. And then we have the other two commandments, two of the Ten Commandments, which we heard directly from God himself. Therefore we have two which we heard directly, and 611, which we heard from Moshe. Altogether, therefore, we have 613. But what do we see from this statement? That the Torah is, therefore, says the Rambam, an inheritance is something which passes down from generation to generation. It lasts for all time, as he quotes another verse, which compares an inheritance to the heavens over the earth, meaning something which lasts for as long as the earth does. Therefore, we see the Torah, which is 613 commandments, are only those which last for all time, in yesterday's shiur. They say that the 248 positive commandments correspond to the 248 limbs of the body, each limb of which tells the person, so to speak, do a mitzvah with me, the mitzvah which corresponds to me. And the 365 prohibitions apply to the 365 days of the solar year, each day of which tells the person, do not do a transgression in my day. 613 commandments which apply only to a specific time. We would be forced to say that this statement of our sages applies only to that time, because at another time, when the commandment no longer applies, there will be a lesser number of positive or negative commandments. And since the number of limbs remains stable, and the number of days in a solar year remains stable, therefore it is difficult to say that the commandments of the 613 include temporary commandments. After these proofs, the Rambam now gives specific examples. The Bahag, who again the Rambam attacks in this one third principle, the Bahag counts certain commandments which applied only in the desert, such as the commandment that a Levi should not see the articles used in the Mishkan being covered, and so too that at a certain age he must stop his service. These apply only in the desert and do not apply permanently, therefore they may not be counted. And this that our sages say, that the verse prohibiting the Levi from seeing that he should not see these utensils being covered, our sages say this hints to the prohibition for all generations in the temple not to steal one of the articles in the temple. However, says the Rambam, this is not the simple meaning of the verse. First of all, our sages say it's only a hint. And second of all, it's not punishable by death, as would normally be the punishment for such a severe prohibition. Therefore, we see that it does not count literally as one of the 613. And we have other commandments, says the Rambam, such as when the spoils of war were taken in the war against Midian, as described in the book of Numbers, chapter 31, certain parts had to be separated and donated to the Levim and so on. And so too, when the altar was dedicated first in the desert, there were certain commandments and sacrifices specifically associated with it. How can we say that all of these are counted as part of the 613? Because if we count them, there are many other temporary commandments we would have to count. And the Rambam lists a number of them. There were commanded not to leave the manna in the desert overnight. So too in the desert they were commanded not to attack the nations of Moab and Ammon. Moses was once commanded to place a serpent on a pole, to place manna in a jar. The preparation for the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, 3 days of preparation, not to allow sheep to graze, and not to go up on the mountain. No rational person, says the Rambam, would doubt that these were directly said to Moses, but they are not counted because they are not permanent commandments. And so to commandments which applied only when the Jews entered Israel, such as the curse and blessing of Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, or building an altar in the land of Canaan, were only temporary. The prohibition against eating meat, except after being brought as a peace offering, which the Sifra says is a positive commandment, also cannot be counted as a 613, because it's not permanent. As in Deuteronomy 12, verse 20, we were allowed to eat meat thereafter, even without a sacrifice. However, if we would count all of the temporary commandments from when Moses was in Egypt, made a prophet, until his death, there would be over 300 temporary commandments. And since we cannot count all of them, we would have much too many. We cannot even count one. Not like some who use them to their convenience to fill up the lacking number of commandments.